Hi, I'm Christine Adams, and I'm the creator of Empowered and Free, and I am super excited to be talking with Pearl today.
Hey, everybody. My name is Pearl Sharenza, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Pearl. I'm also the owner of Women Successful Living, where I help coach you to become the Shiro that you are, stronger, happier, empowered, radiant, and that original self, as you learn what the word no means to others and yes to yourself as excitedly as you say yes to everybody else. And today we have an amazing guest to come on to speak with us and share with us. So get a cup of tea, sit back, and listen to this amazing conversation we're going to have today. And if you're watching us on YouTube, like us and subscribe below. But if you're listening, make sure you like us and subscribe where you're listening from as well. And so today I want to introduce you to Christine Adams. She, after 32 years of military service, can definitely say she was ready to be her own boss and CEO of her own life. I mean, if you think 32 years is a long time, not really, because in fact, it was just a warm up for her. Her struggles, both in and out of military service, merely solidified her passion to serve and help others. She's a creator of Empowered and Free. She's on a mission to help her fellow female veterans to find their true purpose in life after the military and live fully into their purpose through the study of their gene keys. So sit back, listen. And if you are somebody who's in the service or was in the service, thank you so much for being in the service. But I know you're going to be inspired by Christine as well today. So Christine, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Pearl. I'm super excited to be here. So
yeah. So tell everybody about, you know, take us back to just before you joined the service, like what was life like for you? And truly, like, let's talk about like why the service, you know, because we're both young, but we're not as young as what, and back then so many women chose to go into the service, right? So I always love to know what that journey was and why, how did the decision come about for you?
Oh, this is super easy because this is actually where a lot of my story starts. I was actually finishing up my sophomore year in college at the beautiful young age of 20, and tuition kept going up. I needed school money. So my father offered me some information because he was a recruiter. And I initially signed up just for the money, to be honest. And it was going through basic training and then my AIT, which is our MOS skill set training. That's when I realized that this was just the most incredible adventure. And I just felt like the right thing. I mean, I knew I was where I was supposed to be. It's the only way to describe it. So that turned into just pouring my heart and soul into that world, literally. 32 years, yes, that is a long time. I never realized it until I was counting the years down and realized retirement's here. I'm like, holy guacamole. I mean, you know, it just flew by so quickly. And then I'm back out in the world again, you know, and learning how to be normal, you know, or at least how to, I call it normal, you know, learning how to live in a different world completely than I hadn't been. I'd spent most of my adult life in the military, if you think about it. So there I am at 52, sitting at home after retirement. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, well, who am I? I didn't know who I was at 20 when I went in. And now I'm sitting here going, who am I again? Because military, we're told and taught how to dress and talk and think, you know, we're just these little, you know, robots, drones, whatever you want to call us. But now I had the freedom to figure out who I was. And that's where my personal journey really started in the growth development stuff about, you know, 3.5 years ago. So that's kind of where everything started in a nutshell.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, so how old were you when your dad showed you the...
I was 20 years old.
Okay. So 20 years old. And, you know, I'm picturing, you know, 20 years old, we're still trying to figure out what the heck we want to do. You know, I mean, for me at 20, I just met my husband. I was newly engaged, but still on that path of like, what does that look like? You know, and so I'm just thinking, you know, having that. And then, like you said, tuition, you know, again, same thing for me. It was like, and the thing for me that happened, I went to school in Florida. And back then when we went to school, we didn't have the guidance counselors that we sit down and go like, what do you want to do? Where are you going to go? You know, they taught us home ec, they taught us, you know, sewing, they taught, but we had tech things. I know we had welding for the guys and shop and all those kind of things, but we never had that conversation about, okay, do you want to go to college? This is how you can get scholarship. We didn't have those conversations. So if you didn't have somebody guiding you, and like for me, my parents were clueless on how to, you know, guide me to apply to colleges, and you know, didn't have that. So for me, I felt like a lost person out there doing it. So I was like, well, college won't be for me. I'm just going to go, you know, go to work at Winn-Dixie and work at a grocery store, you know, and then other things happen in my life. But, you know, I'm thinking at 20 years old, and I grew up with a dad who was a Marine. So I grew up in a military family that certainly could have been proposed, but my dad never, you know, that never came up in conversation. But I'm just thinking, here's your dad who is a recruiter and sees an opportunity and says, let me show you this opportunity. And then, you know, you go on this journey. And, you know, I've had, my brother's been in the service, all Marines, my brother and one of my oldest nephew and my younger nephew. And then my son, Matt, he went into the Army, but he didn't finish up after MOS. But I'm sitting there, you know, thinking, we had the conversations with all of them about, don't stop after the 4 years, you know, that first commitment. That's the toughest time. Get your grounding. It's just like high school. Get your grounding. If you think, if I can do 12 years, that's a start, you know, and then you can do this whole retirement. But, you know, it's hard to picture that longevity of that, but to think as, yeah. And to think of you as a female to do this, you know, I mean, let's be honest, back then, there wasn't a lot of females that was really going into service.
No, there wasn't. So I actually came in I enlisted the spring of 88. Went to basic training at lovely Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Well, that's where my son did his basic.
In the summer of 88. But what was beautiful is I came in on that initial opening of additional MOSs for females. Mm. So I wasn't relegated to the, you know, the desk jobs and things like that. I had a broader opportunity. And so that was exciting to be on that initial cutting edge. And I share that because to watch the final job skill sets open up for all women, regardless, and to see what they were going through, the same things I went through like years ago. It was just, you never realize just how groundbreaking something you're doing is until you look back and start connecting the dots. That's the beautiful part of what we do. But yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, I'm super proud of what I did. So
yeah, I'm glad you remind us too, because it was a lot of like desk kind of jobs. I have a friend who was also in the service, and she talked about that too, that when other jobs finally opened up, she changed and went to things that was, you know, that interest her. So what was your MOS when you went in?
So I actually became a member of the National Guard unit in my hometown, and they were a military police unit, and they were considered combat military police unit. About 200, you know, soldiers roughly on the books. And I was one of the first five females. There were five of us that kind of came in various positions within the unit. So that in itself was just interesting because you had a lot of the crusty guys who'd been there through Vietnam who were like, you don't belong here. And then a bulk of them really were very opening and welcoming. And we kind of learned and grew together, as interesting as that sounds. So I never experienced a lot of the challenges that some women have experienced in that regards. And I can honestly say throughout most of my career, it was like that. So yeah, it was just so fascinating.
I'm glad you brought up about the challenges, because I know that there are for many women, and I know I have a friend, Trish, that I'm going to introduce you as well. She's a retired from the service as well. And I know for each person, it's different, because I have talked, like I've talked to you and I talked before the show, and I've talked to other ones, and everybody's story is very different. And so I think, you know, I think a lot of it also has to do with who you're surrounded by. It's just like in life, who are we surrounded by that impacts our lives can make a difference on what our journey is going to be, right? So tell us a little bit about your journey. Like, tell everybody, you know, what was your rank? Tell everybody, you know, tell everybody a little bit about, you know, what was your career like?
Because I was halfway through college, I was able to come in as a private first class initially, when I enlisted in, and it was actually at, my MOS training in that fall of 88 that the drill sergeants were going around saying, hey, if you're interested in staying full time, let us know. We'll do the paperwork, you know, cause they knew those of us that were National Guard or reservists there for training. And I'm super pumped at this time because I found my calling is the only way I can describe it. So I'm on the phone with my dad one day and I'm explaining this to him. He's like, oh, no, 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 no. He's like, stop. He's like, if you really want to do this, he's like, come back. We'll get you into the ROTC program at school because my college had one. He's like, then you can commission, go for it that way. He's like, you know, you'll make more money. He wanted me to do something that he never had the ability to do. So, and I'm so blessed that he did that, you know, and then I didn't take the other route. I would have been happy either way I went, but spending at least 3 to 4 years on the enlisted side really helped me even more as an officer, because I understood the challenges that, you know, soldiers go through. I went through basic and MOS training. You know, I knew how to do a lot of the things that many officers coming in as brand new officers didn't know how to do. So that was probably the first amazing, incredible journey that I had that way. And then I was fortunate to actually get one of the few active duty commissions out of ROTC. Now, mind you, I was not on scholarship. So I did not have the GPA to get an ROTC scholarship. So I was just part of the program and I did what I needed to do to graduate and still wound up beating a lot of the other guys out literally that way. So that was probably phase one of my life. But I was just, I loved it. I mean, to be able to go off as an officer, scared to dickens anytime you do something new that's outside your comfort zone. I mean, I was like 24 at the time, 24, 25. Telling guys who've been around way longer than I have what to do, how to do things, counseling them because they messed up. And I'm like, oh my God, I've got to talk to somebody who's probably, you know, 15 years older than me. It's, you know, but it's part of the growth. It's getting uncomfortable that way. But I was always fortunate to be surrounded by just great NCOs that really took care of me because I treated everybody the same. I respected them, they respected me, and I always felt and still feel that that is the key to getting anywhere in life. So,
yeah, I agree. The respect is such a key to moving forward in our lives. And I like that your dad, like, because of his experience in the service, he was able to say, let me guide you. Because a lot of people don't get that. I have a really good friend. There are a couple here in where I live in Tampa. And anytime I know that somebody's going to go into service, I say, I want you to go talk to them before you go to the recruiter or anything. And like, he'll go with them to the recruiter's office to make sure the recruiter's listening to what they want, because we also know the recruiter has a quota that they have to meet. We understand that. So this way the recruiter, my friend, if they take my friend up on it, he goes with them but before they go in, he has like meetings with these young adults that I introduce him to talk about, well, what is it you want? Like, what are you looking for? What's some of the things you want to do long-term in your life? And kind of guide them. And I remember when he had the conversation with my son, he told my son, do not sign up for the MOS you sign up for. You're not going to like it. And he didn't like it. He signed up for, guess what he signed up for?
MP?
No, a chef.
Oh, a cook. Okay.
He's like, you're not going to like it. You're up at the crack of dawn. Like you are, you know, Yeah. You're pretty, your day is a very long day. And my son, Matthew, he did great. He was top in his class for the cook thing, but he realized, you know, 3/4 way through, he did not want to do that. And we call it the Matthew rule they have now. So he purposely failed the PT test so he could get, you know, wouldn't be able to move forward. But now they've changed it. If you don't pass the PT, you just stay until you get passed. So sooner or later you're going to pass, right?
Yeah.
So but he did that with him. And so I was sitting here while you were talking about your dad. I'm like, oh my gosh, it reminds me of Dewan, you know, how he will sit down with the young men and young women and kind of guide them. And for your dad to say, listen, because you're right. Like you graduate boot camp and there's all this stuff is happening. As I remember the story with my dad, like he went through everything. And then when it came time to reenlist for after his first term, they knew my dad wanted to be a drill sergeant, right? Which I grew up with a drill sergeant, trust me. And so he wanted to be a drill sergeant. They're like, oh, well, reenlist and we'll make you a drill sergeant. Well, that didn't happen, right? So then when it came up time for him to reenlist again, he's like, I really want to be a drill sergeant. And they're like, well, if you really, and he was like, no, either give it to me or I'm not. And they didn't. So he, you know, he did like, I think 13 years, something like that. He was shy of like getting the whole retirement thing.
Yeah.
But for your dad to recognize and say to you, let me guide you to, if this is really what you do, let's guide you through it so that you get the best you can out of it. And I think, you know, sometimes, like you said, having the right mentorship, having the right leadership in our life That's so important, because when we are looking to navigate our lives, that's why people like myself and like you, we love what we do, because we've been there. We've either had somebody to help us through it, or we haven't and we figured it out. And we don't want somebody else to be on that path of like trying to navigate on their own, try to figure it out on their own. And the military is really hard to navigate on your own sometimes, because once you make the commitment, that's the commitment. You are theirs, right? So if you can do it the right way, like what your dad guided you through, that's so powerful. And then I was sitting here picturing you as you were talking about it, like having the conversations with these officers or military people that are like 10, 15 years older than you, having that conversation. It's like going, oh my gosh, I can just imagine how that felt as a 25-year-old. And I remember just as a little grocery store head cashier in charge of the cashiers on the front line going, having a talk with somebody who was like my elder, I would call it, about your till short. And like that intimidation's like, oh my gosh. So tell us a little bit about that. Like how was that received, and how did that change your journey in the service?
I don't know. When I got my active duty commission, I was literally just hell-bent on that 20-year retirement, because, you know, it's such a rare thing anymore for anybody to be able to do 20 years of time like that and then have a monthly check the rest of your life and to be taken care of to a point. So really, that was the whole driving focus for me staying in the military. I like goals. I like big, lofty goals, and that was a big, lofty one. But I also knew that in order to achieve that goal, I had to get super uncomfortable and go through learning how to counsel somebody and guide and mentor them. That was probably the thing I learned the quickest. I saw so many leaders around me that were screamers, yellers. You know, if you breathe funny, they wrote you up and things like that, without even sitting you down first and just trying to mentor and guide and get to know you. So that was always something I strove to do. If you don't know who you're working with, I mean, you got to trust these people. You got to know each other because of the environment you're in. And sometimes people weren't exposed to that. So.
I like that. I like, you know, big, lofty goals, right? Big, lofty goals. And like you said, like treating others like they're your team. Like they have to be able to trust you. You know, God help you going to go off to war or anything. You need to know that you're going to trust that person standing right there with you and, you know, locking arms with you. And
it's not just them. It's their families that you're entrusted to take care of as well. Right. So,
yeah.
And then when you become a parent, like I did, I raised three daughters in this world. It's just another skill set.
Right.
That you learn of, okay, I get it. You're dealing with childcare issues. I am too, you know. How can we balance and work this out where we're covering each other? I mean, I just never want it to be, I'm not a people pleaser, but I didn't want to be like super pushover either. Right. I found that being a woman in the military, you walk a fine line.
Yep.
Said this one. You walk a fine line between being the raging, you know what, and then the ditzy blonde who doesn't do anything or know anything.
Right.
And that was my course. That was kind of my compass. The entire time I was in was balancing that. So when I did lose my cool, which was extremely rare, and my team heard it around me, they knew something was wrong.
Right.
Not in a bad way, but they just knew that even I have limits, kind of thing. So, but it was always taking care of my folks, you know, and I always tell my folks, hey, you can use my name in vain. Just come back and let me know. Because I will always give you that top cover. You know, I never wanted to be blindsided kind of thing.
Right.
But empowering them that way, it let them grow too.
Yeah, that's a great point you bring up, because I remember like through COVID. So my husband is retired, but he worked for the Department of VA as a civilian. He was an auditor. So he audit, you know, government contracts and things like that, stuff to do with pharmaceutical companies and stuff like that. And I remember that during COVID, one of his employees, his wife also worked for the government. So they both, and then they had a little one at home that they had to do school for, you know, so you're on this lockdown. And his employee was like very stressed out. It's like, you know, we are having problems balancing this. Like they're arguing, you know, and so Chuck just finally just said, listen, I don't care when you get it done. Just whatever you got to do, adjust your schedule. As long as you're getting the work done, I'm okay with it. So if your wife's boss is saying, I want you these hours because that's what they want, well, then let her start. And then you guys figure out where you start falling in and she falls, you know, you fall into your work and she falls out of hers. And to watch him navigate that, I was like, that was such an amazing thing to do. And you're right. We have to be able to empower and recognize, like you said too, you know, once you start having a family, you know, and even if you don't have a family, we have to relate that everybody's environment is different, but how can I make them feel like you're part of my team? You matter. What you're going through matters. It's kind of like I was interviewing somebody just recently, which I think it's getting released this week. If you're listening, it's all about grief. And so we were talking about what she does. She helps coach corporations and companies when they have somebody who's going through grief, whether it's the loss of a loved one, a loss of a child, or even like a recent divorce, because those are all processes of grief. Too. Yep. Yeah. And so she helps counsel them on how to give that safe space for the employee to come back to work after something like that, right? Like, yep. You know, things like, and I love this. I thought this was a great idea. Like, who can bring lunch to work today for Susie, right? So you have lunch today and then you're bringing Susie lunch. So the first week back, you just let Susie know, just come in. And then even like, if you have a dress code, like come in a relaxed dress code, you know, don't, if you want to wear jeans, like create that space that they feel like I'm cared for, right? Because we know now in the military, they can't quit, right? But yeah. Typically for they're in, whether you like your person or not, I got to stick with you. But in the typical world, the workforce, it costs a lot more money to rehire and train somebody if you can just learn to meet them where they're at. And I think what you're saying too is really, really amazing. I kind of want to go back to what you said was like, I wrote down big lofty goals, right? And yes. getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. I love that you said that because I, you know, one of the things that when I work with the ladies that I help coach, I tell them, I'm going to get you uncomfortable. So if you're going to work with me, you got to be uncomfortable with me getting uncomfortable. And I'm not saying I'm going to throw you to the fire or anything like that. I'm going to tell you, give me a toe when you don't want to give me any part of your body. If you just step a toe outside the box and let me just get a little bit of uncomfortable with you, by the end of like the first couple of weeks, that first foot's going to be all mine, right? And then I tell them by the end of 6 weeks, you're not going to believe me today, but at the end of 6 weeks, your whole body is going to be so uncomfortable and the things you're going to do are going to be amazing. So we talk about setting lofty goals. And so tell us about that. Like you're in the military and, you know, like what you said, you set these lofty goals and you have your eye on the ball of, you know what, which if you're listening to us and you're in the service and you're debating on whether or not you're going to get out, really listen to what Christine says about that 20 years. 20 years goes by. It sounds like such a long time, but 20 years goes by so, so fast. And so talk to us about that goal and really talk to us, Christine. I'd love to talk about too, like where, like when, because we all know we set goals and there's times where we have setbacks, you know, we get frustrated and we don't think we can make it through, right? So when those feelings came up for you, what were some of the things you like, where did you dive into to work through those challenges as they came up?
I had many life challenges while I was serving with that big goal of retirement in mind. Everything from raising a family that honestly I had not planned on, because we all plan initially how we're going to tackle things, you know, so having kids was not part of that. But I always kind of adapted and adjusted fire, as I call it, to going through a divorce in the process because I wasn't supported by my spouse that way. Because he felt I should be home with the kids, not him, because he had done his time, he'd already retired and things like that. So it was actually kind of keeping my eye on that carrot that helped me kind of navigate those ups and downs and challenges, because I was not going to be thwarted from that goal to the point where I left active duty, resigned my commission that way, but I kept it to be a reservist. So I kind of stepped down, if you want to call it, from being full-time to part-time. That's how important that goal was. But I also knew by doing that, I was limiting my ability for that federal retirement, because for those who don't know, you have to do 20 straight years full-time, basically, to get that retirement. as soon as you retire. So Reserve, National Guard side, you have to wait till you're 60 to draw even part of it. And then I had the opportunity to come back in full time as an AGR, Active Guard Reservist, for the reserve side of the house. And you better bet I jumped on that, because the timing of that was perfect, because I needed full-time work as I was going through this divorce, you know. So those who know, you got to show that you're working full-time. And I didn't want to rely upon him, honestly. That's just how stubborn I am. That's how my mother raised me, to be very, you know, independent, that I watched her work all the time and raise us. So I knew I could do it. But always had that goal in mind, to be honest. And when I finally culminated and got to the point where I decided it was time to retire, I could have gone 2 more years, but I knew in my heart that it was time to let it go. You've probably heard it. People are like, well, how do you know when you need to retire? And they say, you know, when you know. It's so true. I can't explain it, but in my heart, I knew that I needed to be doing something else. So that was my first big lofty goal.
That's, and you know, I love what you said too, like, even though, and it's funny, if you're listening to this, go back for the week of, the first week of January is when we're recording this, the first 2 weeks of January, and listen to my Facebook Lives. I'm on with Pearl Sharenza, but I talk about that. I talk about the goals. I talk about, you know, you have setbacks for the bounce forward. And, you know, like what you said, you had that setback of your goal with, because you're going through this divorce, but you knew what you needed to do, but you didn't take your eye off the goal. Like, even through a setback, you said, I have a goal. I'm going to keep doing it. If I have to do it this way, I know what the outcome's going to be. And if I have the opportunity to re-entry, that re-entry came back and it was a perfect re-entry for you.
It was.
And And then, like you said too, about knowing, when you know, you know. When you know it's time to stop, you know, right? And so having that exit plan, it's so, so powerful. I love what you're sharing. I love that you're such a great example for women that are either thinking about being in the service, are in the service now, and, you know, your advice is really good. I know your daughter's in the service.
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, so I have 3 daughters.
Okay.
They are 29, 27, and my baby just turned 25. In December.
Yay.
My middle one is actually in the process of putting together a direct commission packet so she can go in that direction. She claims that this has been a goal for a while. She can be all over the board on her goals and dreams sometimes. So I just kind of roll with them. But yeah, so that's what she's actively working towards. And it's beautiful that you talk about, you know, advice before they talk to recruiters. You better bet. I said, I will know if they're hosing you over when you go talk to anybody. I said, because I know people, because I know people in recruiting command and everything. When you're in long enough, you know people.
Right.
And she went and talked to the recruiter and he's like, look, he's like, I know what your mom does. I know she's retired. The only thing your mom can do is probably help you find some names to get those letters of recommendations and you know, personal character references and stuff. I said, but you let him know I'm keeping an eye on him. Okay.
I love
because,
that.
You know, but I've always been very open and honest with my girls, the environment they're going into if they choose to go this route.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I was asking.
That's
why I brought her up. So tell me, like, what's some of that conversation for her around what she's looking at? And way to go. Like, she's kind of taken a little bit of that route you did. Like, what's the best way for me to go in? What's the best way to make it the success that I want, the goal that she's created? Right. But what, like, let's think about this is your daughter or to that young lady that's listening on the other side of this right now with us. What's some of the top 3 pieces of advice that you would give them?
In 32 years of service, from my experience, now I can't vouch for the last 3 years, but the number one thing I like to let them know is you're going to, at some point in time, encounter some sort of sexual harassment or anything in that world. It's just not, they've never, ever truly fixed it. There's always programs and tools put in place to help mitigate it, or in theory, we're going to fix it this time, you know, and 5 years later, they're creating something new to still fix something that's still there. I'm just going to be open and real. That is still there. And how you handle it is going to make or break you, to be honest. So, And that's just, I've always told my girls, I said, this is the environment you're going into. I said, now I know my girls can hold their ground because it's me, you know, I've taught them that from day one, but I don't want any surprises that way for anybody going in. So the second advice is, yes, they've opened up all these jobs and skill sets, but you're still going to have to work 2-3 times harder than the man next to you. That has never gone away. You always work twice as hard to prove yourself and that you have every right to be there when you're going to still run across those that think you shouldn't be there. That culture has changed for the better. A lot of the guys understand that we bring a certain element and viewpoint and aspect to the environment that they can't offer. So it's truly teamwork when it comes to that world anymore. And the third is just have fun with it. I mean, you are going to grow in so many ways. You're going to do things you never imagined that you could do or have the opportunity to do, but just have fun with it because life's too short. So those would be my three key things.
I love all three of those. And I think it's, and I'm glad you point out too, like the sexual and counter sexual harassment, because that's one of the big things that I hear from my friends that I know that have been in the service, you know, or have come out. That's the big thing that they say. That's the number one thing. And like you said, they need to go a lot more work into it. And there needs to be a lot more. And we see the news, you know, we see some of the news stories and things like that. And so I definitely agree with you. It's definitely is something I know that they're working on. It's still more work to be done. But I'm glad that you're sharing that. I'm glad, too, you're letting your daughter know and on our listeners that that's still there. I mean, you have to, you know, prepare yourself for it. And what is your reaction? You know, that's really, really important. And then I like to talk about, it's so true, like, it's frustrating that even women going into service, you have to work 2 times harder, but it's also still the same way out in the world outside of the service. So, but the problem is you're in a more focused environment that you've got, maybe depending on, like you said, you went in some areas where it was like the older guys that were still, you know, coming out of the Vietnam War and, you know, they've been through enough as it was, and then having a female there with them and, or maybe sitting across from them, counseling them, you know, that's, you know, a whole different picture for them. But, and then I like the third one, you know, that, I mean, cause it's hard. It is hard. We have to work 2 times harder and to know that and prepare yourself for it, you know, and ask, you know, get mentorship too, right? Yes. I mean, I think having mentorship for women that are already there, or even somebody who like you that's come out, to have that kind of guidance and things. But I like what you said too, is have fun. Cause in life, no matter what we're doing, we need to learn to have fun. And cause life can be hard and jobs can be hard and being an entrepreneur can be hard, but we have to learn how to have fun. And so I want to ask you real quick before we get into, I want to talk about what you do, but I want to, what's one thing when you were in the service that you can look back and said was one of the funnest things you did while you're in the service?
Oh my gosh. One thing.
Or you can give me two, whatever comes to your mind.
32 years is a lot to reach through.
What's a fun memory?
I think one of my earliest fun memories, and then I'll give one towards the very end, was the fact that my first duty assignment was overseas in Central America in Panama. And that was my all-time favorite assignment for the fact that I got to just be a part of something unique and different, because I was there towards the end of the Panama Canal being closed down to hand back over. I was able to just explore culture, history. It was probably the most fun duty assignment I had. And again, it's all about how you make of these things too. And then my last duty assignment was probably super fun as well, because I had the opportunity of being a liaison officer between Cyber Command and NORTHCOM. And while it was a huge learning curve, you know, I used to tell people it wasn't the fire hose effect, it was a tsunami effect, because I was getting it from both directions. Trying to explain to my daughters what I did without getting in trouble because of the classification, they found it more fun to tell their friends that I was a spy. And that they're like, you're not an LNO. That's just, what you do is just too hard. We just tell our friends you're a spy. That's so much cooler. So yeah, I was a spy at the end before I retired, but no, yeah, it's just, again, it was always fun. And I think the highlight was my promotion. So I did retire as a full colonel,
awesome,
which was an accomplishment right there. Having my daughters there for that promotion And when my boss, you know, general officer was like, hey, you know, what are some key things that you want to say about your mom? And everything they shared, I mean, I was in tears before we even went down to the ceremony, because I did not realize how much they watched me or how big of a role model or emphasis I was on them until they shared how proud they were of me. So,
and look, she's tearing up. So if you're not watching,
it's a good happy memory. So.
And you know, and Christine, it really is, because when, you know, that's what we want. All we want is for our kids to be like, you know, we're proud of them, but we want to be a great example for them, right? Yes. We want to be a wonderful example for them. And when we can do that, it's just, I feel like that's the, you know, the cherry on the top of being a parent. Yeah. And then when they say that and they have those things they can say, you know, about that. I mean, I remember I've gone through some stuff with my parents, and it's not been the best of having best examples of what it's like to be a parent. And I remember, you know, we've gone through some things, and if the people, my listeners who've been on a while, they know some of the backstories. But, you know, when something happened to my son, Matthew, and we went through it, he's like, but mom, that's not who you are. That's not you. So I don't use him as the example for you, you know? And so those are so amazing. So let's talk about your life, because you've become your boss and your CEO of your life, as we were talking when we came on, but you're the creator of the Empowered and Free. So yes. Tell us, like, what are you, you know, what was the passion behind doing that? I mean, I feel like I kind of know, and I feel like we've been hearing it, but what's the passion behind doing that? And then how are you helping those fellow female veterans?
Sure. So we're going to go back about 3.5 years when I retired, because that's really where this kind of started. The seed has been planted for 32 years is what I'm telling myself. And it finally sprouted. We all get home, we sit here, we're happy that we don't have to get up early. We're not responsible for people. You know, our calendar is our own time now. And then it's like, now what? You know, we hang that uniform up and it's a now what concept. So I'm working on first business that I'm working to build, and meeting people and building out my profiles and really working with the LinkedIn side and just becoming active that way. And one day out of the blue, I had an actor called, his name is Doug Terrell. He does stage work, but he also is the creator and one-man show for, I think it's The Soldier Story or something like that. So he does various time periods, covers, you know, from letters and stuff. It's an amazing show. I can't wait to see it. He was actually interviewing four veterans, to get information so he could build another character that represented the woman. Because so many women were coming up and like, when are you going to do one about us? Out of the blue, you know, I'm probably sitting at home, you know, 3 months out of uniform, and I'm like, okay, fine. I'll, you know, we'll get on the phone, we'll talk. I don't know this person. 90 minutes later, after just talking and him asking questions, and I'm just off the cuff, just answering, which I find talking to strangers is easier sometimes. So I realized the power of our story. And at first, I was just going to sit home and not really let people know what I did or anything like that, because I wanted to put that world behind me. But the power of our story is so important. And that was the biggest aha moment for me. And then I really started looking and actively connecting with even more veterans, just to say, hey, I just want to hear your story, what you did, what you're up to, how can we support each other? Because I wanted to initially just start building that community of support for veterans. I didn't care if you were a man or female, kind of thing. And then it's just kind of like, okay, I just want to make a group, you know, where we're all empowered and free, kind of thing. The words always came up in my mind. I didn't know where they were going to take me. And then just evolving on my own personal journey. Because remember, Christine didn't know who she was after she hung up the uniform. So that meant I was doing a lot of personal development books, reading and deep diving that way. And of course, I had a coach and still have a coach that I've been working with for a couple of years. One of the big key helpers, if you're leaving the military, is find a mentor or coach, because they are definitely going to help guide you, act as a sounding board, mentorship, depending on where you want to go, what you're trying to do. So that's a big aha moment as well. And literally last summer, my coach shifted into the human design gene key realm. And I'd already been kind of Googling online, trying to figure this out, because that's where my hunches were leading me. And I'm always convinced that every time I think, okay, well, how can I just make this work? The universe hears it, and then it puts it in her ear, and then she turns around and does it. So it's just been a beautiful relationship that way. But what I'm learning is the Gene Key actually helps you figure out who you were designed to be. So, and what's beautiful about it is it's not a cookie cutter concept. It's very individualized, and you do the work. It's, you know, and if you find a group that does it together, you can kind of guide each other, you know, because sometimes we get so close to things we can't see past our nose, and having somebody there to look at it from the outside in is a beautiful thing too. And then literally I'm like, this is what I've been looking for. It's fun because every time I discover something new about myself through this process, I can link it back to my career and see exactly how that particular trait worked for me and why it felt right and why I was able to shift jobs every 18, 20 months. You know, some people struggle with that. I thrive on that stuff. So, because I'm designed to do it. So yeah, so that's where Gene Keys is coming in. So Empowered and Free is just, I want to work with the female veteran particularly because we are the ones more likely to not let people know that we served. We're the ones more likely not to say anything, or we don't want to do anything because we're tired of proving ourselves. I mean, and these are conversations I've had more so with women, but there are men out here too that struggle with this identity issue. And what is my purpose now that the uniform's been hung up? So Gene Keys is a beautiful tool to help them do that interpersonal work and really help them blossom into something else if they want.
And I love that you're doing that. And one of the things that you said, and you know, for our listeners out there, military or not military, whenever you are like making a life shift or a change or something's about to be totally take you pivot a different way, it is so important to have a coach. I mean, especially like if you're starting a business, I wish I would have known when I first started my business, have a business coach, things would be so different for me, right? But having that mentor or that coach, and especially like somebody like you, especially if you're coming out of the service and it's another female, because you're right. There's many, usually when I find out somebody's been a female, it's been in the service. Mm-hmm. It's either like after I've been around them for a while, like I do a retreat every year. I had this one girl, she came to my retreat. Her first year had no clue. The second year she came, she had mentioned she was in the service, right? I was like, you know, but it's why. True. Yeah. Because it's not. And also too, part of it is like the trauma, because most of the ones that I do know go back to the three things you talked about: sexual harassment, trying to prove yourself, and trying to have fun while you're there. Right. So a lot of them have struggled with that and not knowing how to work through the trauma and haven't done the work on the trauma, because we have to work. We have to work on the trauma to have the emotional intelligence part, to have, you know, we have I do a positive intelligence thing, a lot like what you're talking about, but it's really important. And to have somebody who like you saw and heard a need. And if you're listening, that's where businesses start from, is you either have been through it or you see a need and you have the knowledge and the tools to help somebody, and you've gotten yourself through the education that you can start paying it forward. And to take what you're doing with the Creator Empowered and Free, you know, I think it's so great that you're helping the veterans with that. So tell us, when somebody is coming to work with you, like what can they expect? Like what's sort of that journey that they go on with you?
Really? It's because this is brand new to me. So it's going to be brand new to anybody I bring in too. We will initially start with them just doing the Gene Key profile, which is just free. And if anybody who's done human design, it's the same information. They want to know your birth information, you know, the time, the date, the year, location, and then you get a simple profile. And with that profile, then we start walking that walk together. You know, you start reading what each of the particular Gene Keys means to you, because you and I might have a 60.1 in our profile, but because you were born, you know, at a different date and time, it's gonna resonate and represent differently for you than me. And that's why it's not a cookie cutter concept. It's, you know, and I think it's just a beautiful tool. And so I'm actually putting together, and this is freaking all brand new. This is what Christmas break does for me, is I will put together. Putting it out here in the universe now, a 6-week course called Gene Keys 101 that just kind of gives them that initial introduction to the Gene Keys and their profile. And if they want to go deeper, then I'm going to bring them into a community that I'm going to name the Inner Quest. And, you know, and then we'll work from there. And this is not a quick learn and burn thing. This is a lifelong commitment, because now you're going to understand what triggers you. You know, we always try to figure out what triggered me to eat that box of Oreos, you know, secretly in the closet so nobody would fuss at me. You're going to learn some of those. You're going to catch those trigger points, is what I'm going to call them for now, sooner. And then you're going to learn how to navigate them much easier and get through them quicker. Because every time, as you know, we change in life, you know, or evolve, we get uncomfortable. And that uncomfortableness are those, you know, shadows, we call them. So, and then you get to that happy spot, and then you're ready to grow again. And those same trigger points are going to, it's a cycle, to be honest. And learning how to navigate it is just where I want to take people. Because, and I want it too. I mean, I will always be walking this walk and figuring things out.
Yeah. And I think in life in general, we all do that, and have somebody like you and, you know, and myself as the coach, you know, with the woman that I work with, it's so great that we are able to help guide that. But we're also, and, you know, I love that you brought that up too, that you're doing the work, because oftentimes I'll have somebody come in here and to work with me, and I'm like, so, you know, why me? I notice you've worked with the other coach, because it's one of the questions I have. Have you worked with a coach before? And it's just, okay, so why me? You know, what made you, what didn't work with the last coach? And a lot of times the biggest answer is that, well, you know, I think she's imposter syndrome. I don't think she's doing what she's teaching me, because when I look at you on social media, you're honest. You know, you tell us what's happening in your life. You know, just recently I had a client that I'm working with. She's like, "Pro, I gravitated to you because I haven't lost a child, but I thought, wow, if that was my child that lost, I want to go to Pro, because she's got, you know, she's sharing so vulnerably, but she's being honest. She's guiding me and she's teaching me." And, you know, so it's like, that's great. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, I have clients that come in and, you know, that they just want to learn how to communicate, and just walking them through that roadmap. I call it our Shiro roadmap on, you know, how you become stronger, how you become happier, how do you become empowered? How do you start radiating in your life? And how do you really start being that original person that you're meant to be, that you kind of been like putting her on a shelf, or, yeah, or, you know, letting somebody else shine before you shine. Right. And we talk about how to balance and create that roadmap, and knowing, like you said, like the personality, like the gene, like you're talking about, it's important, because those play into like what our mind tells us and how we respond to that. That's why we use a positive intelligence in our coaching, when we talk about as a judge and the saboteur comes up, what are the tools you do to kind of quiet them, you know, quiet that down? And
that noisy roommate is,
yeah, exactly. The noisy roommate. Oh my God. I call her Betsy. I'm like, "Betsy, I don't want to talk to you today." You know,
that's right.
Like,
just go sit in the corner. Go in the corner.
Exactly. You need some time out right now. Leave me alone, Chicky. You know, so absolutely. So I love that you talk about that. So tell everybody, I know this is new for you, and I love that you're going to put together this course. I love that you're going to have a community, because communities are important. You know, we have a community, it's called the Shiro League, and having a community for, especially for women, where we can come together. You know, we meet every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and we do it on Zoom. It's not recorded, and it's just a safe space so that we work on self-care, we work on self-development, but we also just work on what's happening. Let's celebrate your wins. Let's talk about overcoming the challenges and setbacks, and how can we bounce forward with it. And so I love that you're creating all of that. So tell everybody, Christine, how can somebody reach you that's listening to us today? Especially, you know, I know the veterans have been listening to us, but women in the service background as well.
Yeah. Easiest way is probably just to go to my website. I know I've got Calendly links there, but that's probably the easiest way to connect with me. But I think the show notes will also have all my social platforms, so you can connect with me that direction. But keep an eye on that page, my website, because that's where a lot of this new stuff is going to be posted to get going with. And back to the community part, when you've got a group of people and that one brave person asks that question that three others sitting in the room are too afraid to ask, it helps them out. So yeah, having that safe environment really, really is just key in so many ways. So
tell everybody your website.
So it's christine-adams.com.
christine-adams.com. And like Christine said, we'll have everything in the show notes, how to reach her and all her social media, all that will be there in the show notes. And if you're watching on YouTube, you'll have it in the notes below. Speaking of YouTube, I know I've said it before, but if you're watching us, make sure you subscribe and make sure you share us with your friends and those that you think would be empowered by what we're talking about today. So Christine, I know I forewarned you that we're going to do a card, our little card game. And so we have our cards for those that are listening and or watching, our Better Questions, Better Life cards. These are from my really good friend, Carol Gill, and her friend, Diane Allen. They're over 70 cards that have different questions. Like this one says, how do I want to be remembered? What have I learned today? Is my head aligned with my heart? So there's just different things that you can meditate over, you can journal over, you can just take a picture and put it on your phone. If you go, I get no kickback, so I'm not making any money on this, but I just love these. I gave these to my boys, and to be honest with you, when I sent Matt off to heaven, there was some in with him off to heaven. So yeah. I want him to have that positive influence there as well, which I know he already does, but you know, but they're called betterquestionsbetterlife.com. That's simple. So okay. I'm going to shuffle and Christine's going to tell me when to stop. And we're going to talk about the card that she stops at. So here we go, Christine, tell me when to stop.
There.
Okay. So her card says, am I thinking for myself?
Ooh. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. You know, yeah. That card's really, it reminds me of, I was at a meeting this morning, my network meeting I go to on Wednesdays with it's called Commerce Connections here in where I live in Riverview. And we were talking about goals and our circle of people around us, especially in our business and in our private life. And, you know, and are we thinking for ourselves? Are we allowing others to influence our decisions? And it's so important to make sure that you are thinking for yourself, that you are taking the time to say, am I a people pleaser? From somebody who's a recovering people pleaser addict, I can tell you a lot of times we don't think for ourselves. We think about, well, how will so-and-so feel if I don't do that for them, right?
So that's so easily influenced with social media. So
yeah,
and that's why I absolutely love that I didn't do social media for years because, you know, OPSEC security reasons, we're not supposed to. So that was an uncomfortable journey for me to start down that path. And then sharing, I just share. I mean, some days I'm on, some days I'm not.
Right.
You know, some days it's a quote that might resonate right with me and I just put it out there. And that just, it sets you free when you do that.
Yeah.
It's truly you. And we need to have more individuality in so many ways and not, of course, I think it's age too. I think when we get over 50, we just don't give a flying frog fanny what people think anymore. But, you know, yeah, it's, you know, and that's the hard part too. You, as you know, when you're getting out there and building something, you're like,
right,
you're going to think, what are they going to say? Am I going to be ridiculed? What is my family going to say? That's probably the hardest one to get past in so many ways. And, but once you do, you're just like, okay, it didn't kill me. Let's do some more.
Yeah, so, right. It's like people, I hear oftentimes, you know, when somebody's starting a business, they got to go on social media, they got to do videos. They're like, oh, I'm so freaked out. Even like I coach the women that I coach, some of them are entrepreneurs. And that's one of the things they'll tell me. Well, I don't want to show my personal side. I go, why not? Because, and that's exactly that's what we talk.
Yeah, that's what people are looking for. They don't want to see any more of these cookie cutter things. They really want to see that you're a person with the struggles, real struggles.
Right.
You know, you don't have to share everything.
Right.
But, you know, be yourself. I mean,
yeah. We were talking about that this morning in our meeting about how, you know, are you who you are outside when you go and shut your door? You know, that's one of the reasons why we do these amazing pajama retreats. I'm going to plug our pajama retreat right here, right now. So be ready, everybody. We have about 10 spots left. It's really cool. We have a private chef coming this year. We're back at the beach of Gulf Shores of Alabama. But that pajama retreat, the one reason people always ask me, why no makeup? Why pajamas? I'm like, think about it. On a Saturday morning, when you get up and you don't have to work that day and you've had a long day at work the entire week, what do you want to do? Or if it's raining outside, what do you want to do? Sit in my pajamas. And are you wearing makeup while you're sitting in PJs? No. So I really believe that's the whole environment because I want you to sit back. I want you to relax. I want you to receive everything that the weekend has been set up for them. But also oftentimes we put makeup on as women because we want to hide behind what we're truly feeling. We don't want to show somebody that We're grieving the loss of a child, and I've had a pretty crappy day of grief today. We don't want to show with somebody that, you know, maybe you're about to go through a divorce and you don't want people to know about it. You don't want to show somebody that, you know what, my life at home is terrible right now because I have a child that's an addict and I just don't want people to think different than me, right? And it's okay because you're not alone. We want everybody to know that. That all those things happen to people, whether they're high income, $1 million earners, or they're just barely making their bills made, right? And yep. So it happens to all of us. But why do we think we have to do it alone is beyond me. And why do we feel we have to hide it? Because it's important not to hide it. I remember I was at the grocery store probably about a couple months after my son passed. I was picking up something at the deli and I was just standing there. You know, I had my little number just waiting my turn. And a wave of grief overwhelmed me. And I just started crying. And the young man behind the counter goes, I'm going to be with you really soon. Are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just having a moment, right? I just believe that that's what I have to do. That I just believe that we have to show who we are behind our doors, outside our doors, right?
Oh, trust me. So 32 years, how I cope, because I was always the calm, cool, collected one at work and home. We learned to pack those emotions into what I call duffel bags. And I had right. this massive duffel bag wall around me. So learning how to unpack those the last couple of years and learning how to truly, like you said, handle those emotions. Because if you let it work through and not follow it in, you get through it quicker,
right?
Healthier. So see, I struggle with that too.
Yeah.
A lot of my social posts, I don't like makeup, so you're going to see me. And yesterday I was in my jammies all day because I could work like that.
Yay. I think it's just like a beautiful thing. Yeah. Just be who you are because that's who people want to see. They don't want to see all this fluff stuff. That's why, you know, that's one of the reasons why on TikTok, I think so many people resonate with Mama Top because she just tells it like it is. I don't know if you know who she is, but
no.
You got to look her up on TikTok. She's amazing. And coincidentally for me, she lost her son a few weeks before I lost my son, you know, in 22, but she just sits, tells it like it is. She walks up to, she'll like look in the camera and be like, okay, honey, let's just talk. Have you taken your vitamins today? I'm like going, yeah, no, I haven't, Mama Todd. Let me go do that right now. You know, but she just shows up who she is. And that's so much, I think, why so many people resonate with her. And so that's what I want to do. That's why when I do these recordings, oftentimes, and for those that are listening, oftentimes people go, do you have questions you're going to ask? I'm like, no, I literally have no questions. I have a notebook I do notes at while we're talking, but I have no questions that I send to anybody because of the fact that I want it to be very generic and I want it to be honest and I want it to be raw because you on the other side listening and you watching, you want people to just to tell you like it is. You don't want us to tell you the stuff that we're not doing. And that's not what this show's about. So I'm so glad that you joined us today, Christine. I'm so glad this is a fun conversation. I mean, our time is like, it's like, okay, we're there. What?
It's already gone.
I know, oh God, it's already our time. It goes by so
Deep
fast.
Having fun, time flies.
So. Exactly. And so I just want to remind everybody that we're so appreciative you're listening. Again, like and subscribe to us on YouTube and all the platforms you're watching or listening. But I just want to remind you that as you come into this world, you are an oyster that's a little rough on the outside. You got some work to do, some trauma to get over, but as you do, you're going to find your inner pearl to greatness. And I know you'll find it along the way. And I just hope you have an amazing rest of your day.